Joining us this morning is Eureka City Manager Greg Sparks. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
Let's see if we can find one of our phrases here that might not be too Midwestern-y. We got to challenge you, man.
Well, most of the time you challenge me. You read these quotes as like I've never heard of them or something.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of where I've been to. Okay, how about this? Body and soul. It's a regular phrase, right?
Yeah.
What's the origin of the expression, keep body and soul together?
I do not know.
Got a shot? You mean a shot in the dark?
I really don't.
No, okay. All right.
I don't know. Is that
other
line?
Than trying to do it every day, yeah.
I think it was a line from a Stevie Wonder song.
Oh, there you go. Okay, at least we got an attempt on the board. It was once believed that the soul could slip out of the body rather easily. If this happened, the body could be taken over by the devil.
I guess okay. That happens on Halloween.
Yes. This was very undesirable, and so it was essential for everyone to keep body and soul together. That's why we say God bless you when a person sneezes. The ancients believed that with the sneeze, the soul was forced out of the body through the nostrils, and the devil, who was lurking around every corner, would take the opportunity to slip in and block the return of the soul. If, however, a friend blessed you when you sneezed, then because of your momentary holiness, the devil could not re-enter and your soul could return to the body. That's like a doubleheader. You got two of them on that one.
It's like a good reason to be around people when you're sneezing.
Yeah,
not
exactly.
Off by yourself.
Unless it was when you were contagious with the plague.
Yeah.
Not so good. Oh, geez, Louise. So, we've got fall coming up. In the past, there has been, right around this time, a lot of discussion about, historically, about having shelters for the homeless because the weather is turning and there's discussions, what location, who's going to do it, the coordination between the city and the county. Are we going to be hearing that again this year?
Well, I haven't heard much about it yet. I mean, I think, as you know, for many years now, we have the cold weather shelter, which is both a Eureka Rescue Mission and St. Vincent de Paul for the overflow from Rescue Mission. And that isn't always, taken advantage of to a great degree. But yet it's available. I know last year there was quite a bit of discussion with Salvation Army about them potentially running a winter shelter.
Right now there's been turnover there.
Yeah, they ran into, kind of their own bureaucracy last year. Kind of the higher-ups didn't want to go there. But,
right, because that was kind of what Roger had cut his teeth on, was that stuff.
Roger was certainly trying to go there, and city and county were both interested in that, but in the end it didn't come together. And I think the thing we always find out, whenever you start talking about shelters, everyone says, yeah, that's a good idea. It should go somewhere, somewhere else, or over there, and
I think over there is the favorite address.
I think over there is right.
Yeah. So some of the zoning changes and things of that nature that have been put into play, are there areas that are zoned appropriate for that, or are these variables that have to come in or adjustments to the general plan to make these allowances?
No, there's certainly zoning that allows for emergency shelters, and certainly several years ago when City Council passed an emergency shelter resolution, that opens up certain potentials so that you don't have to comply with everything in the building code and ADA and things like that. So we use the emergency shelter crisis resolution in terms of Betty Chin's, the Container Village, which is on Washington Street.
I was wondering how's that working out? I mean, we haven't heard an awful lot of chit-chat about it. Okay, that's oftentimes means that it's doing okay.
That really is. I think if you're hearing a lot of complaints, that would be the chit-chat. But council just renewed for another year at that location, and we appropriated $75,000 from our housing successor funds, which are only funds that can be used for either low-income or homeless-type housing.
What was that fund called?
Housing Successor Funds. It's really most of the funds we have in there come from repayment of CDBG housing grants, that type of funding. So it tends to be pretty limited, so we're pretty careful about where we spend that money. And that pays for about half the cost to operate that facility. So
it's about 10 grand a month, roughly.
Yeah, so Betty raises the other, you know, money through her foundation to cover the cost there. So because they have, you know, 24/7 management, work to get people into housing and jobs. And, you know, we've been very happy with the success of that project. It's kind of a low bureaucracy anytime you're dealing with Betty.
Well, and I would think that the timing, if everything was in place with the extraordinarily low unemployment figures that we've had for the last 18 months, the window is open. People are looking for viable, quality employees. And it's getting,
absolutely.
It's tougher and tougher and tougher. You know, you just have to talk, you know, talk to five business guys. You're going to have five business guys all saying that same thing. So if these folks are really kind of getting their act together, the timing couldn't be better for them to get a job.
You know, the other program that's been very helpful that Betty and the city where we partner on, as well as then local businesses, is the Pathway to Payday program. And Betty would like to run that more often. I've been at those graduations the last several years, and you really try to help give people the skills as to how to fill out a employment application, how to open up a checking account, basic fundamentals, how to interview. And we've had very good support from employment agencies and so
that wasn't a cheap shot at me, huh? How to interview.
You are excellent at interviewing, Brian.
It's too late, babe. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Eureka City Manager Greg Sparks. Greg, in the first segment, we were talking a little bit, I think the phrase was housing successor funds.
Yeah.
Immediately, I thought, is this first-time home buyer? Is this a diversion of those dollars? Is it a new fund, separate fund? There still a first-time home buyer?
Yes, there's a first-time home buyers program, which are community development block grant funds, which are federal funds that they're administered by the state. And we've always been very successful in getting the first-time homebuyer funds. But I tell you, we are finding it increasingly more difficult, in a sense, to spend those dollars, because it seems like for every 10 applicants we get for, you know, people may looking to, buy that first home, and there's dollar value limits on the – I mean, you can't use it to buy a $500,000 house. It's hard to get them qualified. So for about every 10 that apply, we might be able to get one kind of qualified through the program that meet the income requirements, that have, I think the credit background. I'm not sure what all goes into it. But I think going forward, we may not apply for first-time home buyer funds next time around. We may go for a different type of community development block grant fund. So that's
you're not sure why such 9 out of 10 don't?
Because it gets either credit history, not enough housing stock in that lower end level sometimes.
The house itself doesn't qualify.
There's a lot of factors that play in between both the applicant and housing stock available.
That's one of the things I know there's a little bit more emphasis now, and I don't know if it's just my recognition at the same time or heaven forbid I have any influence. Housing is now being put under the same category heading as infrastructure. Okay. So you need to have the houses to attract business development or potential employees, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's just the same as housing. Housing is the same then as roads and other infrastructure that's out there. Is the city doing anything to encourage the development of these lower end homes? I know you got the, not the mother-in-law units, because you're not buying those.
Right.
But for maybe smaller footprints, maybe smaller lot sizes, things of that nature, so that the builders can pencil it out and still make sense.
Yes, 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 yes.
Good.
As part of a general plan update, and now coming up with the new zoning code, Council and Planning Commission had their first joint meeting last week about that. But that is one of the pieces. It are some smaller lot sizes that can help bring down, you know, land costs, develop, and, you know, make it easier to develop. So that's included. We're also looking to increase, you know, density in some areas from a housing standpoint. So
does that mean like no parking is necessary, or you make allowances for on street?
Right. You take where, I mean, take Old Town, downtown, for instance, where you have a lot of vacant second, third floor space. Maybe it's been office, but they couldn't meet requirements to turn it into residential.
It was the old artist live workspace stuff.
So really looking at coming up with that are less dependent upon parking requirements to help create some housing units, particularly on those second and third floor, upper floor.
So to turn those into condos?
Not necessarily condos. They can be apartments.
So it wouldn't have to be a purchase?
I haven't heard necessarily some that are, you know, condos potentially, but it seems like maybe with the building owners, we have the concept would be more apartments.
You mean they don't want to give it up?
I think that's accurate,
Yeah, well, you know, if they paid attention to some of the buildings and cleaned them up, that would be a nice step. But what I was saying is with the first-time homebuyer thing,
you get
them into those and do it as a co-op or whatever it might happen to be. Then they start to get that traction and can then transition into more traditional housing. Mm-hmm. But it gives them that ownership rather than, okay, more rental space.
Yeah, I think a number of those things kind of factor into it. And I think sometimes it can be difficult, though, to also condoize an older building. I think there's a lot of times there's some, you know, between building code and just, and depending upon what the market is. I mean, I think there's some places where that market for condos is strong. It has, I don't think it's typically been such a strong market here, but that can certainly change over time as well.
Well, I don't know. Do you know of any condominiums in Eureka?
Just down the,
finding the apartment complex that has that swimming pool.
Kind of that Bayfront one, you know.
Right.
But that's just a few
units.
Does
Greg sell those, or does he just rent them long term?
I thought those were condos.
Okay, I know.
Or at least some.
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah.
You'll have to bring Greg on here to ask him.
Yeah, you got to get him to answer my calls. So a few and far between kind of
there
an
are.
Approach. So I was thinking, you know, in Old Town where there's second and third floors that have been storage or just vacant, you know, you get some bodies in there, it's going to reinvigorate Old Town and maybe make things, change the characteristic down there too.
Yeah, I know, you know, a few years ago we did a vacancy analysis and it just showed you had so much upper floor vacancy and difficult to fill. I mean, there isn't that kind of demand for upper floor office space when you have kind of better office space type, you know, arrangements.
More comfortable options available, yeah.
So there's a lot of people who would like to convert to apartments, and we'd like to help make that happen.
Is that something you have to overtly do, or is this more just relaxing?
In a sense, overtly do, because we have to, in a sense, change ordinances that relate to parking requirements and things
like
that.
Some of that stuff.
Yeah.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Sparks. Greg, with the political season as it is, are you surprised at the tone that it's taken? I know it's not your first, but it's still one of your first in the area.
Yeah, I've been, you know, I'm thinking, you know, 2014, 16, and now 18. So, yeah, kind of the third one. I think the tone in elections has just generally not, I mean, everywhere seems like it has become more divisive, and I'm sure there's a lot of reasons for that.
Yeah, water districts and school boards. I mean, yeah. It used to be trying to find somebody to run.
Right, right.
And now it's, you know, everybody's there and everybody's kind of snap snarl.
And it seems like kind of the anonymous social media thing also just helps drive a lot of this
negative.
That's what I'm
thinking. A lot of it is that whole social media stuff. Mm-hmm. I think most of the listeners know I don't. I don't.
Same here.
I've never – well, maybe I've been to a blog site once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, others will handle our stuff, but it just – you know, why bother? So, yeah, I think it ramps things up or in locks people into place, mm-hmm. I suppose, or ensconces their position. That's what I've been told with a whole bunch of other non-political. The people there, maybe there's 30 or 40, and everybody believes from the same – or comes from the same pew. So all you're doing is reinforcing instead of getting any additional information in on the topic. And so everybody's, you know, coming out like this is complete knowledge rather mm-hmm. than, well, this is – one segment's perspective.
Yeah, and
you probably see that with some of the city council meetings.
Yeah, certainly when you look at council meetings and, you know, it becomes this maybe little microcosm, right? But, you know, for the most part, a lot of people just, you know, obviously don't come to council meetings. You know, you're kind of too busy with, you know, your job and your family or whatever
life.
Else you've got going on.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, you come out to a council meeting when if there's an issue that you're particularly concerned about or, you know, a lot of times our public comment period becomes that opportunity for someone just, you know, for whatever, you know, is bothering them.
Have you seen more engagement at the public comment level
Oh, yes.
Over the last 5 years?
Yeah, I think we certainly have. And therefore, a while it seemed like just homelessness was kind of driving a lot of public comment, more both from
both sides
of that issue, and so we had a lot of public comment in that arena. But you know, it's been a little more variable, I'd say, in the last 6 months. Or the last year.
So what's been the topic du jour over the last 4 or 5 months? Any one area?
Certainly the issue that has probably dominated public comment in over the last year is syringe waste.
Well, that's
syringe
not new.
Litter issue, right. but we weren't hearing that, say, 4 years ago. But in
the free turn-in program wasn't there then, was it?
No, that's been around for about 2.5 years now. So you've got, you know, just between, you know, anytime you run into a syringe for the first time, right? It's like, oh,
scary.
Man, what? Why is this here?
Yeah.
And I don't think you're thinking I must have a diabetic neighbor. That isn't the first thought.
No.
So it's like, you know, somebody, you know.
I got a question about that. I heard last week that the county just kind of determines where these sites are and can show up. They don't have to notify. Is that accurate?
You're talking about like the exchange, county public health on their
exchange program?
Yeah,
the exchange programs, if they wanted to put one, let's say, in our neighborhood. They just kind of find somebody who's willing to volunteer and do the handing out. And
I haven't really heard of it in that. But they have like a, you know, they provide kind of a mobile services.
Right. But do they have to notify you formally or the city formally?
No, they don't.
Is a little frightening, isn't it?
And we're going to have public health at our next syringe advisory board meeting. We have a syringe advisory board.
You're kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding. We established that a few months ago, and we have some community members on it. We have two board members from Humboldt Area Center for Harm Reduction. We have Sergeant LaFrance.
Lenny's the one that's out there having to deal with a lot of it.
He's out there on the front lines, and then I'm like the ex officio member to it. And we're really trying to look at collaborative problem solving on this between, you know, Hatcher board members, community members, EPD, and because, you know, we've had a stakeholder group for over a year meeting, and things came out of that, you know, county kiosks, city sharps containers, different cleanup efforts, but that maybe gets to one piece of the problem. Now what can we do for more community-based collaboration to try to go even further on addressing the issue?
All right, I got to take a break. KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Eureka City Manager Greg Sparks. Greg, some of these different boards that and commissions, I'll say, that pop up, and it's not to be negative, but they're there. Are they sunsetted? Are they set for a specific time and then go away? Or is this a little here, a little there, and pretty soon we've got all these various entities, and then after the cool is gone and the sexy is gone, you may have 3 of 6 seats filled, trying to always find more volunteers.
And I think something you really have to look at boards and whether or not that's the most effective way with an advisory board. A lot of them are set up to be permanent. Obviously, the planning commission, there's things by planning that are set by state statutes and city charter and so on. So that's a given. But there are others that, so like this syringe advisory board, this was actually established to be a one-year board with the idea that it could be, re-upped for, say, an additional year. But it was with the idea that this would be short-term. And I'm hopeful that that's all it is. But then, of course, that means we actually have to solve some of this problem.
We conquered, we left. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've been a part of different boards over the years. I know I worked in a city where we established something called the feedback advisory board. It seemed like it had a great idea that we'd pull all these entities together, like city, county, school, so on, and to try to make sure we weren't duplicating, overlapping. We figured out after about 6-7 meetings, all we were doing was come to a meeting, tell them what we were doing, and we didn't have any purpose. So we said, you know what? Let's just cut this off before we find it any more painful. And I think sometimes that's what you need to do with certain boards. They run their course, and then it's, let's eliminate it.
So who pulls the plug? Is it staff recommendation?
It's usually a staff recommendation account, but sometimes it's almost like that almost makes itself a recommendation. If you're having trouble getting a quorum to a board, that kind of means, you know, people aren't really too committed to this.
Yeah, it's not a burning issue that we thought that it was.
Right, right.
So how many people are on this syringe board advisory?
This is really actually, it's a 6-member board. I actually forgot to mention that Dr. Baird is also a member of that board. So 6 members. We've got a regular once-a-month meeting schedule. And it was really set up to be ad hoc, temporary, and So I think it's going to be interesting to see what comes out of this. I know I had, and part of the genesis of this gets back to a meeting that a couple council members and myself had with California Department of Public Health back this past spring, as we had just certain frustrations with how this was, you know, going with syringe litter. And some of that idea really kind of came out of them about how to build upon what had been done with the stakeholder group and to get more of that community collaboration into the process.
Now, was this the one that was going to be located at St. Joe's? Have a needle exchange program, or is that just something?
Yeah, I don't know anything about
related,
it.
Related, but not this.
Yeah, it's not that.
Okay. How many committees are there in the city?
Oh, boy, you're going to test.
Two dozen, three dozen, 10 dozen?
No, it's not 10 dozen. It's, you know, and then you've got, of course, there's the various intergovernmental ones where we have a
those
council liaison.
This kind of thing is just...
You know, I'm going to go check and report back next month.
We'll have our committee report on committees next month.
Yes. I know you love committees.
Oh, delighted. See everybody tomorrow.